by the way. I introduced earlier. First, go ahead and tell us your name and how to reach you, and that it's okay that we shoot this interview and use it.
Okay, it's good to shoot the interview and use it. My name is Don Jose Ruiz, and you can reach me at www.miguelruiz.com.
Okay, awesome. Now, first let's talk about this event and how it makes you feel.
Oh, this makes me feel very happy. Like I was saying earlier, this event, I see like the sixth sun in effect, and that's an old tradition that the ancestors talk about, is where each ray of light is gathered. And each ray of light, it comes from different parts of the world, different parts of languages, different parts of passing through fear and suffering into light. And this is getting into the 2012. It is why it's very beautiful to see this time, this event getting done. It's a significance.
Now, as you see things happening, you know, on the planet, you've got an interesting perspective. What would you say to people that aren't really as plugged in to this knowledge as others? People that are feeling really lost and don't really know what their part is in all of this and what they can do as one person to help bring about change.
Well, one thing is to be themselves. Is to be themselves and do not try to imitate somebody else. Because whatever they do, they will not find their truth and they will have a long journey. But when they start doing what they love, it doesn't have to be spirituality or about knowledge. It has to do something pleasure that they enjoy doing as human beings. Because we're all masters of our dream. We just have to push ourselves. And one of the things is to go against the biggest tyrant there is. That is the fear that we create. You know, the Greek gods say, if we live only until the human believe in us. If the human don't believe in us, we no longer exist. And imagine all the fears that we have, all the gods we made them. The doubt, jealousy, all those that make us unhappy. They're Greek gods.
Yeah, that's true. Tell us a little bit about where you're coming from and what you do.
Well, I was born into a family that does this naturally, that shares awareness. And my grandmother used to be this amazing healer, curandera. Her power of her faith and her word and her belief, it created miracles happening. Many people come to see her. And then she had my father as an apprentice. And my father also did the same thing, but in a different way, more with the mind and the common sense. And he reached many things that seed got put in me. And as I look, I see many, many things in spirituality where resistance happen for young minds, and because we cannot relate. So one beautiful thing is that I try to put everything in modern life to translate the message of awareness of my ancestors into the now. And one thing that is happening right now that I'm enjoying is playing rock and roll. I joined a rock and roll band, and we're kind of doing spoken word storytelling of awareness and going into music. The music is kind of like the Beatles with Neil Young, Radiohead. So it's been one of the greatest things that's happening, because one of the goals that I have in my life is to cross from spirituality into that genre of rock and roll or genre, whatever kind of that life, because that generation is the future that will lead the world.
Now, as you travel around and you see a lot of people are drawn to your message, and are you seeing that the traditional teachings that you carry from ancestry and teachings come from other veins all over the world, it's all coming together, and Western beliefs and Eastern beliefs, are you seeing that come together in the people that you talk to?
Yes, I see that all around. And one of the things that I've done growing up, my stepmother was so into the India dream, so I learned from a Swami, and my grandma was so into Catholic and also the Toltec. So, and the Tibetan also has been a big influence in overcome my suffering that I've passed in my life. So I see to talk that common sense. And when I speak, all those people that are from that information, they can relate, because it's not about the word or one way of Bible or Quran or the scriptures in the pyramids. It's about the expression of life, because we all have the same teacher, and that same teacher put us through all the pains in life. So from that, we relate, it's the same emotional things because we're all possessed by it. So when we talk in that language, we can identify in ourselves what the big tyrant it is that we're doing. So what the little words that is being done is just putting a mirror and then having a new revelation be created by the one who's listening, because that is the new truth. And it's not anybody else's truth. It's their own truth, and that is beautiful to see growing, because the journey that we take should be in our own understanding of our own word, because we're together to the end.
Now let's talk about how, you know, there's films like The Secret and people talking about how we create our own reality. And that's, you know, that has been something that's been echoed throughout traditional teachings for a long, long time. So why don't you talk a little bit about how this rediscovery of this basic truth is something that comes from a whole lot of different directions, and how you feel about that, and how you think people should take that.
Yes, one of the big prophecies that happens, the prophets that live, it's everyone's a prophet. They just have to believe in their word. Let's say we may not manifest vibhuti, we may not walk on water, but we manifest love and our word. So when we put an intent out there, intent in here, we take action. We say this is going to happen, and it happens because we make it happen. We don't leave it to pray for the universe to happen. No, we have to find a way, because when we close our eyes, we meditate. That's where dreams are born. We hear the vision, we see the vision. Now with open eyes, we take action and it will manifest. But if we don't take action, it will be gone and it will not happen. So with the intent of this dream of the planet is giving people false dreams, false happiness, and they're going for false things in life they want to do, but when they get there, they're not happy. It's because it's not coming from them, it's coming from wanting to be the perfect image of a beautiful dream. And that is what the meaning of Lucifer it is, the fallen angel, the beautiful image of God, but it's not God. Wants to be something that is not. But when we are something that we are, and if we do not judge ourselves, no one else can judge us, and the judgments die, and that make us immune to judgments. But of course, more arrows are going to come like Siddhartha had, and all those arrows are judgments, but when they go to him, they're flowers, because it's the power of letting go and forgiveness, of not taking personally and detaching right away to not play a game that recycles itself again and again. And in that moment, the legacy of suffering ends in us, and then we're ready to give birth to a new dream. And this is like the answer to say the return of Quetzalcoatlis is the truth of our being, of our true selves. And I believe in reincarnation, but I believe in reincarnation in the same life. We're born, we get to masticate it, we suffer, we take it personally, we keep hurt, we hurt until we don't want to do that. And then we go for truth. We find all the ways, we find the journeys, we go through masters until we discover the master that lives inside of us. And that is the resurrection of the embodiment of love. And one thing that I have to say is, when the master is free, remember, he's not on parole. He's not ready to be judged and be put back in the cage. No. We fall, we stand up, and that's the beauty about being human.
Awesome. Talk about the traditional Mayan prophecies of 2012, if that's the subject you can cover. Because people, they're taking them out of proportion.
Yes.
Thinking, oh, you know, the Mayans, for one thing, the whole concept of the Mayans disappeared into thin air. I mean, we know that's not true.
Yes.
Go down to Guatemala, they're there.
Yes.
The remnants of the Mayan people,
yes,
walk Guatemala today.
Yes.
So it's not like a spaceship came down and picked them up.
Yes.
And the Mayan calendar and the Mayan prophecies aren't really talking about the end of the world in 2012. They're talking about a change.
Yes.
So perhaps you would be one of the best people to kind of clear that up for us.
Yes, the superstition and the lies invades, it's like a cancer that invades truth. And when a truth is being born, get ready, because the corruption is going to come. You know, if a person that lives very much like a human, he dies, the people will make him a god. The people will make him walk on water because they like to do that. And of course, the lie will get imprisoned in the truth. He will put the face of truth, but it's lie. So the Mayans and the Toltecs also believe that in 2012 is the return of the Quetzalcoatl, the change of a new dream. And I say this to my apprentices, when I had apprentices, I say to them, if you really want to meet the Mayans, And he told us, go to the villages, see how they live, and you'll find the community. That's the awareness. Because they also, their culture also got corrupted. Because they started doing superstition. They feared that they won't get the good crops, they have to kill. And then they started killing, they tasted power. They tasted greed. And this is one belief that ancestors say, that's why the Spaniards came and cleaned up this temple. Because it was already corrupted. But no one talks about that. They talk about how victims the Mayans were. But it's like any kind of dream. The earth moves itself when it feels like the global warming. It's shifting. So the whole dream of the planet is also shifting. And there's no right or wrong. It's truth and lies. And when the people that go into suffering and hell, they're meant to go there. Because only, like Rama said, there is no saint that wasn't a sinner first. And the sinner, it is the redemption of wanting to be that. So we can see in the Maya how the beautiful people, they still live. And their greatest gift is not having a big mansion, cars. No, it's having their little hut and being in the nature. And the nature is Kulkulkan. Kulkulkan is the greatest Maya, our God.
I have walked deep in the jungles of Guatemala. I have seen the little men leave their homes every day with their machetes and their bare feet, and they're smiling, and then they go back to their houses with their corrugated roofs and their landscaped yards, and they're the happiest people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I can totally identify with what it is that you're saying, because I've seen it. And I said, yeah, they called me the white giant. But yeah, I love that country, and I loved what I saw there. And it's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, and one of the beautiful things that is in Guatemala is that you can actually go inside ruins, and people respect those ruins. Mm-hmm. Like in other places, they're closing them down because people do not respect. But if anyone has the gift to go to Guatemala, I is sure to go, because it's one of the last places on earth where freedom for the nature it exists.
Yeah, I've been to Tikal and Atitlan and Antigua. Yeah, so great country. Now, tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now. You're traveling around the world sharing this knowledge with just a whole bunch of different people. Tell us about that.
Yes, what I'm doing is we got a RV, and we're going to tour all over the country and Canada to share the message. But one of the things that is doing is teaching what my family call angel training, human training, training the mind. It was this intense course that is after the Toltec dreaming. And it's when it prepares itself to be their own master. So I am going deep into that teaching once again this year. And another thing that makes me happy is that I've joined a rock and roll band.
Right.
And we're doing a Toltec tale and rock and roll. So that's one of the gifts that I would like to participate in, is to cross genres from spirituality and to a nature of rock and roll and the kids to get this message, but not like a dictation that you have to know, just by being themselves. So it's the next challenge that he has.
Now, what can you say about the kids and our youngsters and their knowledge that they seem to be born with? And it seems like the humanity is evolving.
Oh yes, the kids right now, they are so intelligent. At 3 years old, they're already having you can see like an adult conversation, but without them knowing. But they teach us so much things. But the important thing with kids is to teach the parents, because we cannot teach the kids, because it's a sensitive area. But if we teach the parents, then the parents can give their children a great gift. And you know, the parents are the ones who come to do this. They have to go it themselves, because right now, how the media is, how the false dreams we were talking about earlier, it's giving them false dreams and what kind of heaven it is. People at 18, they can hardly wait to leave home. And you know, like in the culture of Guatemala, the Mayans, the Toltecs, they're home until like their 30s. They even get married and they still live at home. And their parents die and they never left. And this is one of the beautiful things about having the communion and the love. And sometimes it's very difficult, because there's kids that are very loved and their parents, well, they're not participating in their dream. And for them, for those kids, I have to say, there is families outside. You don't have to stay in an island of safety, in a pen that you're used to. Go, fine. Go find that source. And that's because of blood doesn't have to be the family. Family is universal. From that point, we can totally, totally heal. But the one you have to do is commit. And this is what the message I have for the kids who don't have that reflection of love in their home, that there is a home waiting for them. And the thing is not to fight the world, but to surrender and make their best, because you're in that situation, you are in the situation. The worst thing it can be is rebel, going to fear, or commit crimes, because many kids of Latinos, they grow up 11, they look into their older cousins, their cholos, the gang members, and they think that's cool. And they think that's to be a man. And they go fall into prison and that world, and nobody cares about that dream. So we have to see the true gift is not about being something that looks beautiful, that looks cool, but it's about being happy.
Now, you know, in Mexico and in South and Central America, there's a lot of violence happening too. There's a lot of people that are just absolutely, not that it's just in that part of the world, but it's a lot of that's coming to the news right now. The FARC groups down in Colombia, and the drug wars that are happening in Mexico. And it seems like these people are so detached and so far away from the kind of things that we're talking about. What's that outcome going to be? Because we can't change the world without bringing everybody at least part of the way with us.
Well, in this moment with this situation happening, it's up to our government. The government, when they thought there were nuclear weapons in Iraq, they went and sent them, but there's worse thing than nuclear weapons happening in America. And that is controlled by the drug lords, by the organized crimes. And they run the country. And they put all of the poison into neighborhoods. And they give it to kids. And they're like, it's a machine that is training itself, that it needs to be cured, but only the big parents of America can fix that problem. And we do our little part in our home.
Now, for people that you know, are going to be a part of this transition, you know, we're going to go from where we're at to having a sustainable, evolved humanity that thinks things in a different way. Pretend that it's 10 years after this transition has happened. Tell us what it was like.
After 10 years from now?
What it was like for humanity to go through this change.
Well, to go through this change is very educational, we should say, because we saw the mistakes that were done, we saw what didn't work, and what did work, it got uplifted, and it got put into manifestation, and many outcomes will happen. You know, like 50 years ago, they would never dream they would have an African-American president, and now it's true. And I believe like in 2 years, there can even be a voting situation that we can vote for Pedro, and Pedro might win. But all of our thing is getting out of the box, not think that things are impossible, because they're possible. There's always a way. And if we dream it, it's because that's the beginning of the change. That is the beginning of the worm getting into the cocoon to be butterfly. And we, right now, in a beautiful generation, we're honored to be in this generation of the 2012, to be alive in this situation, because we are part of the big change. The change that we have right now is nothing compared to what it's going to be in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It's going to advance so quickly, and maybe one day there will be no borders. Maybe one day there will be no racism, no hatred. But we also understand that where there's light, there's dark, and there's an equilibrium. And it's a cycle that's happening all the time. And the beautiful thing that we can do is come out of our own suffering, come out of our own hell, and share heaven. Share the heaven that how we master to get to heaven, and share it to the world. And that's the new book of Revelations. It's like no different from our ancestors who wrote all those book of Revelations that we carry now, those teachings. But those teachings become obsolete one time or another, that it has to be continuing in the moment of now. This is why being our authentic self is very important. Because if we are authentic self, that means that we are free. And if we live freely and we contagious that to somebody else, that means that they're free, and this is the beginning of a whole expansion.
That rocked. You got anything else you want to say?
Oh, just love and gratitude. And one thing that I say to my father, because he's my teacher, I say to him, how can I help you? How can I say thank you to you? He goes, you really want to know? Help me change the world. I go, the whole world? No, son. The world in your head. So one thing that I say, help me change the world. The world in our minds, because that is the best way to live in personal freedom. And remember, the truth doesn't care to be judged. The truth doesn't care to be seen. The truth only cares to be alive.
That was fantastic. You did a fantastic job.
Oh, message. Oh, thank you.
Did I miss anything?
How do you feel?
What, how do I feel?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel great.
And you didn't miss anything?
Yep, that was perfect.